Philippians 2, page 1827. About a fellow who had been married 50 years. Quite an accomplishment in our culture today. And someone asked him, said, "Listen, can you explain to me the secret of a successful marriage? How in the world have you made it for 50 years? He said, "Well, you see, when my wife and I got married, we made this agreement between the two of us. Here's what we agreed, that if anything I ever did bothered her, that she would just tell me and get it off her chest immediately. And if anything bothered me, I would just go for a long walk." He said, "I guess you could attribute our happy marriage to the fact that I have largely led an outdoor life." You know, getting along with people can really be a tough challenge. It doesn't really matter who it is. It can be your children. It can be your spouse. It can be your parents. It can be people at work, in the community. But just learning to get along with people can really stretch a person very far. Most of us in this room have heard about the Serenity Prayer, and you've read it over the years. But have you read the new Serenity Prayer for the 90s? "Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to hide the bodies of those people I had to kill because they refused to see it my way." Getting along with people. One thing, though, is for certain. If you don't learn to get along with people, you will never, ever enjoy the rest of your life. And that's what we're trying to learn in our study of Philippians. How can we learn to enjoy from this point on, whatever the circumstances, the rest of our life? How can we really learn to do that? Well, in our study today, the Apostle Paul helps us to discover the next step in enjoying the rest of our life. And here it is. We must learn how to treat people. You've got to learn how to treat people. If everybody's in Philippians chapter 2, I'd like to begin reading with verse 1. And here's the first point. How do you treat people? If you want to enjoy the rest of your life, you need to learn to treat people with a Christ-like love. You need to learn to treat people with a Christ-like love. Look at what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1. "If we have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose." Have you in this room ever been on the receiving end of the love of Christ? Well, if you're a Christian, you have been on the receiving end of the love of Christ. Because when you were a sinner, Christ died for you, and by His wonderful grace, He has showered love and forgiveness and the gift of eternal life onto you. You have been on the receiving end of the wonderful love of Jesus Christ. How has Christ treated you, though, in the years since you accepted Christ? Or to quote Paul here, have you ever enjoyed any of these blessings? If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Anybody here ever been encouraged by being united with Christ? Since Jesus Christ moved into your life, has it ever been an encouragement to you? Yeah. It's been a wonderful encouragement, hasn't it? Has anybody ever been... What's the next one? Anybody ever been comforted from His love? And I have. Have you ever had any fellowship with the Spirit? The wonderful gift of the Spirit that is given to you as a believer? Absolutely. Have you ever received any tenderness and compassion? Going through a difficult time, experiencing a loss, going through grief. Have you ever experienced the tenderness and the compassion of Jesus Christ? You know, as I look at this list, I have to say, yes, 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 yes. I've received all of those things. Well, what does Paul say? Then, verse 2, if all of these things are true, if you have experienced all these, what? Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying if you have received all of these things from Christ, then you need to turn and treat one another the same way. You need to be loving. You need to be compassionate. You need to display fellowship and tenderness and compassion to those people around you. But what if they don't deserve it? I mean, you don't know some of the people in my life. They don't deserve love. And you did. Have we so quickly forgotten what Paul says in Romans 5? That Christ Jesus demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you deserve the love of Christ when He was nailed to the cross? Of course not. Did you deserve His love and forgiveness and the free gift of eternal life? Absolutely not. So you can't use that as the condition of whether or not you're going to give the love of Christ to other people in your life. Jesus Christ loved you when you didn't deserve it. Now you are to turn to those around you who don't deserve it and display the unconditional, unmerited love of Jesus Christ. Well, that's tough, isn't it? That's real tough. But we must do the same. Well, what if they don't respond positively to my Christ-like love? You ever had a situation like that? You say, okay, God, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to go love this person. I'm going to act in their best interest regardless of how I feel. Ever been there? And your efforts at love are rebuffed. What do you do then? You say, you know, I'm doing everything I can. I know what some of you do. You've become neurotics. Go ahead and confess. If you have a problem or a conflict with anybody, it just eats you alive. Some of you are like that. You say, you know, I've tried, but there's just something I'm not doing right. I mean, I'm trying to promote unity and love and like-mindedness and be one in spirit and purpose. You know, Paul, I'm trying, but I'm just not getting any help on the other end. Let me tell you one of the most profound lessons that I've learned in life. Are you ready for this? You may need to just write this one down if you can't memorize it. Here it is. Every street has two sides. Aren't you glad you got out of bed to hear that? Every street has two sides. What side of the street are you responsible for in a relationship? Your side. Some of you have been neurotically trying to fix the other person, haven't you? You're saying, well, I'm doing my side, but I'm going to come over here and I'm going to help them clean their side of the street too. One of the most helpful verses I've ever learned in my life is on page 1764, Romans 12. Go ahead and turn over there. It's worth the trip. Page 1764. In Romans 12, Paul is talking about our relationships in the body of Christ and with other people. And he says one of the most profound truths, if you will learn it, it will set you free from trying to be the street sweeper on the wrong side of the street. Chapter 12, verse 18. It's just one verse, but listen to it and let it sink in deep. Verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now see, some of us forget the first two qualifiers and we say, I'm supposed to live at peace with everyone. Come on folks, are you learning? You can't live at peace with everyone. It's a great idea. In a perfect world it would work. And as far as it depends on you, on your side of the street, you do everything you can to live at peace with everyone. But you've got to remember, only if it's possible. Some people on the other side of the street aren't willing to make it possible. What do you do with those people? You just love them on your side of the street. You take care of your side of the street. Let God take care of them on the other side. You can't fix people. Any of y'all think your spiritual gift is fixing people? Well, next time you introduce yourself to somebody, introduce yourself as the Holy Spirit. Because that's who you're claiming to be. Your job is not to fix other people. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Your job is to love people on your side of the street. They have to take care of their side of the street. Boy, some of you are going to go home saying, I can sleep now. I can relax. I thought it was all my responsibility, all my job, to live at peace with all people. I've worked with some people. Growing up, I tell you, some of the jobs I had in college, part-time jobs, I worked with some bosses that were jerks. And that was on their good day. What do you do when your boss is a jerk? You love him on your side of the street. You do everything possible to love him and to live at peace. But what if he's not willing? You just take care of your side of the street. That's all you're responsible for. Take care of your side. Does that make sense? Boy, loving people, though, with a Christ-like love is tough. Because it's really hard to love somebody when they're not loving you back. I love to love my wife because she loves me back. I love to love you guys. You love me back. If I could give you a list of some people in my life, and you could too in your life, who aren't loving you back. That's the people that it's hard to love. And yet, we're called upon to love one another with a Christ-like love. Sometimes we're like Charlie Brown when he said, "The world I love, it's people I can't stand." It's real easy to love people in general, isn't it? It's real easy to love people generically. But when you put a face to that person and it becomes an individual, then it becomes tough. But I'm telling you, if you want to enjoy the rest of your life, you must be willing to learn how to treat people with a Christ-like love. Otherwise, you'll go nuts. You'll never enjoy your life because you're always trying to change them, always trying to fix them. Don't fix them. Don't change them. Love them. Just love them. That's all you're responsible for. Number two, you need to learn to treat people with a Christ-like humility. A Christ-like love and a Christ-like humility. Are we back in Philippians chapter 2, page 1827? Look what he says in verses 3 and 4. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." Amazing. In two verses, Paul shows us how to revolutionize our relationships so that we can enjoy the rest of our life. How do you do it? Number one, you need to get rid of relationship killers. Did you see them? There's two. Just about every relationship killer can be fit in one of these two words: selfishness, conceit. What does it say? "Do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit." Get rid of those relationship killers. So put those off. What do we put on? Well, put into practice the relationship stimulator, which is what? In humility, consider others better than yourself. If you really want to enjoy the rest of your life, you've got to quit focusing on your life. Isn't that amazing? It's one of the great paradoxes of the Bible, but it's true. If you focus on your selfish needs, your selfish interests, saying the world revolves around me, you're the most miserable person on the planet. But if you will learn to focus on the needs of others and pour your life out in sacrifice and service and in love to other people and humbly say, "I'm not the center of the universe, and today I would like to put you in the center of the universe so that I can love you and care about you." You know, if you start doing that, the most amazing thing will happen. You will begin to enjoy your life. Now, don't ask me how it happens. I don't know how it happens, but you know, there's a lot of things I don't understand. How about you? Do you really understand how the sun comes up in the morning and goes down in the evening? Do you really understand how rain clouds make rain? Do you understand all that stuff? I don't understand. I still don't know how a telephone works. I can't figure out for the life of me how I can pick this thing up and on a little tiny wire listen to somebody else. I can't figure that out. It's amazing to me. But you know what? I still talk on the phone. All kinds of things I don't understand, and this is one of them, but I still do it because I know it works. Give your life away in humble service to other people, and you will find yourself being fulfilled. Somebody gave me this. I love this. It's entitled, "How to Be Perfectly Miserable." You want to be perfectly miserable? Number one, think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use the pronoun "I" as often as possible in your conversation. Mirror yourself continually in the opinions of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for the favors you show. Never forget a service that you have rendered. Expect to be appreciated in life. Be suspicious. Be sensitive to slights. Be jealous and envious. Never forget a criticism. And trust nobody but yourself. You want to be miserable? That's how you be miserable. I don't know what it is about us. I guess it's just that old sinful nature that we love to focus on our needs and our concerns. We wake up in the morning and our favorite word is moi. My needs, my concerns, my life. By the way, have you noticed too that anytime there's a problem when you're acting that way, anytime there's a problem around you, whose fault is it? Oh, it's never your fault. It's always the other guy. It's always his fault. Heard about a guy, senior citizen was driving down the freeway in California. His car phone rang and he answered it. It was his wife. She was obviously upset. She said, "Sweetheart, where are you?" He said, "Well, I'm driving down the 405. She said, "Oh no, you're kidding, that's horrible. I just heard on the news there is a man on the 405 and he's going the wrong way." And he said to his wife, "Honey, it's worse than that. There's dozens of cars going the wrong way." Isn't it amazing when there's a problem, it's always the other guy? You know what that means if you're one of those people that it's always the other guy? It means you're selfish. It means you're full of vain conceit. And you're not humble. Learn to humbly focus on the needs of others and concerns of others, not just your own needs. That's okay to have needs. Each one of you, verse 4, should look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Hear the balance? You don't become a masochist and say, "Oh, I have no needs. I'll spend my life in meeting the needs of others." You've got needs that need to be met. But just kind of keep it in balance where you're meeting your needs and the needs of others as well. By the way, do you need an example? Sometimes I just need a picture. Picture's worth 1,000 words. Here's a picture of what you need to live like in verse 5. Look at this. Your attitude. You hear that? Your attitude, your approach, your perspective in life should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Okay? Show us, Jesus. How do we live in humility? Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You need an example? There's your example. Who's the most humble man who ever lived on the planet? The Son of Almighty God. Did you see what he did? He refused to selfishly grasp his heavenly privileges. He willingly emptied himself of his divine prerogatives and became a man. He willingly became humble and obedient and died on a cross. By the way, did you see how his Father responded to that kind of attitude? God exalted him. And friend, the promise of Scripture is that God will do the same for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." You want God to exalt you and to lift you up? The first step toward exaltation is humility, both in Jesus' life and ours as well. Well, if you want to enjoy the rest of your life, you must be willing to start treating the people in your life, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your office where you work, with a Christ-like humility. It's tough, but if you'll do it, you'll start enjoying the rest of your life. There was once a father who took his young son to the supermarket with him one day. And this little kid was into everything, knocking over displays, pulling the cereal boxes off the counters of the grocery store. And every time this father would just say, "Control yourself, Billy. Control yourself, Billy." All over the supermarket, the whole time they were in there, you could just hear it. Wherever you were in the supermarket, you'd just hear this little phrase, "Control yourself, Billy. Control yourself, Billy." Finally, after hearing it dozens and dozens of times, a clerk just walked up to him and said, "Why do you keep saying, 'Control yourself, Billy'?" He said, "Because my name is Billy." You know, when you're in this world, it's hard to control yourself. If everybody was as nice as you, it'd be a great world, wouldn't it? If everybody was as considerate as you, it would be easy to live in peace. But you know, some people just aren't as nice as you. Some people out there just kind of have an attitude some days and have a bad hair day and a rotten week and are going through a difficult time in their life. And so you have to decide how you're going to treat them. I challenge you to follow Paul's example and his admonition today. Learn to treat people with a Christ-like love and with a Christ-like humility. If you will do this, you will begin to enjoy the rest of your life. Let's bow. Father, thank you for your word today. God, this is a serious challenge because many of us in this room tend to be self-centered. And we realize that this command means that we're going to have to get out of that attitude and start loving people with a Christ-like love and start treating people with a Christ-like humility. Father, we cannot do this without Your Spirit's presence in our life, producing the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Father, we need Your help. Fill us with Your love so we can love others. This is our prayer through Christ. Amen.